Mothering is the mother church of the Catholic Church. Well, happy Mother's Day. Hiya, Erin. How are you? Good to see you. Welcome back. Praise God. Good to see you. Welcome back, the Ajayis. Praise God. Am I good? Nigerian church is online, yeah? Is that correct? Praise God. All right, let's just go into the word this morning. Let's have been prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full of thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is not with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare the love of this within our saints. We are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 1. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, spiritual gifts, I will not have you to be ignorant. So Paul is teaching to the Corinthians, and he says, there is something about the things of the spirit. We said the word their spirituals is the word their pneumaticos, right? And he says, I will not have you to be ignorant regarding these things. He now goes further and says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away, right, unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, if you look through 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 13, there's something important that Paul is trying to address there. And that's the fact that a man can be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. A man can be ignorant about what he has. A man can be ignorant about what he possesses. So it means that possession does not automatically mean understanding. Or possession does not automatically mean awareness. Possessing something does not mean you are aware about it. And that, you know, sort of fits into what we're talking about in the Believer's Identity series. We're talking about how a believer can be, and in being is not aware. A believer is righteous, but not aware is righteous. A believer is not aware of the gifting of the Spirit of God on their inside. A believer is not aware of the, you know, the redemptive work that has been wrought towards them. All right, so Paul says, I will not have it to be ignorant. Now, the word there, ignorant, we said, is the word that speaks about willful ignorance. That means you reject knowledge, you shun knowledge, you push knowledge away, you ignore knowledge, right? So it is not that the knowledge is not available. It is that you've decided to shun knowledge. You've decided to put knowledge away. So imagine you're in a room of the dark, and your room is dark, and the room opposite to your room has light. But you are aware about the room opposite to your room that has light, but you choose to stay in your room that is dark. That's what Paul is addressing there. And that's the spiritual state of a lot of believers, right? They have the fullness of the Spirit, they have all of God's Spirit, but they are not fully conscious of the fact that all of God's Spirit on their inside is actually a reality for them. Right, so a lot of Christians come to church. They hear about it, but they're not really aware. They don't pay attention to it. They don't ponder on it. Right, or let's say different. They don't act as though that's their reality. So Paul says to the Corinthians, Now, if you look at chapter 2, actually, you realize that the letter he's writing to these these people, he has already explained to them that in the real sense they had the fullness of the Spirit. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. Look at verse 7. All right, look at verse 7. Praise God for them. Look at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. All right? Howbeit, he says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at verse 8. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, let's together, 1, 2, 3, go. Nor seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I had not seen, ears has not heard. Right? Yeah. So I had not seen, ears not heard. It's not about the job you want to get next week. It's not about the contract you want to get next month. It's not about the admission you are looking for next year. Are we together? Right? You know, it's a beautiful prayer. Now, you know, like I would always teach you, right? There are certain prayer points that are prayer points in itself. And ideally, the root of those prayer points has a link with certain scriptures. Is that correct? Yeah? With certain scriptures. Right? So, can I look at you and say, I pray over your life that the things that will happen to you this year, eyes have not seen. Yeah? Ears have not heard. Can I do that? Yeah? But must I link it to 1 Corinthians 2? No. Altogether. The moment I'm praying, so the moment I say, as the Bible says, you have to be careful. Yeah? So it's safer for you to pray without it. That's troublesome. You are supposed to pray with the Bible. Yes, we are saying it's safer for you to pray without the Bible. So it's safer for you to say, what God will do over your life this year, I had not seen, ears has not heard. But the moment you add, just as the Bible says, you're picking out of context. Yeah, because what Paul is teaching here is, right, he says, it is written, I had not seen, ears not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, But God had revealed them unto us, not God will. God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Look at verse 12, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read again, 1, 2, 3, go. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might what? Know. It didn't say that we might be given. It is that we might know what has been given. So the moment I say you need to know what has been given, it means that you have been given. Say, I've been given. Say, I've been given. Say, I've been given the Spirit of God. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians. So think about it. Paul writes to the Corinthians and tells them about the fact that they've been given the Spirit of God and now tells them, I don't want to be ignorant. That means that you are given does not mean you are not still wallowing in ignorance. You can be given something and not know what you are given. So he says, now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are what? They are spiritual, discerned. So what Paul is expecting the Corinthians to understand in 1 Corinthians 12 are spiritually discerned realities. Are we together? They are spiritually discerned realities. Right? So, but now if you look through verse 13 again, it says, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom understands. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth. But the natural what? Receiveth. What's the next word after receiveth? Not. All right. So hold your hand in verse 2, chapter 2. Go to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Now look at verse 6. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her. Okay? So hold your hand in chapter 12 and go back to chapter 2. Right? Look at verse 14 again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 7, chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. So, clearly, Paul is talking about two different kinds of men. Is that correct? Using the same word, man. Yeah. So if you look at natural man in verse 14, if you put natural man in verse 7 of chapter 12, will it make sense? It will make sense, right? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every natural man to profit without. Altogether. Because what he's addressing is unique to a kind of people, not everyone. So if you go back to chapter 2, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So the man to which the things of God are foolishness unto and will be the natural man. So what other man do we have there? So what would be ideal opposite of natural man? Supernatural. Is that correct? Yeah. So the ideal natural man is the one to which the things of the Spirit will be foolishness. But to the supernatural man, the things of the Spirit ought not to be what? Foolishness. So he says, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So who are the men that have the mind of Christ? Spiritual. Supernatural. Correct. Yeah, you got that. Yeah. So the supernatural man is the man that has the mind of Christ. The supernatural man is the man to which the things of the Spirit ought not to be foolishness to. Because the things of the Spirit are things that are only that discerned by the Spirit. Praise God forevermore. So Paul is teaching and he's saying that, well, you understand the fact that the things of the Spirit, right, will be foolishness unto a man. So it means that when a believer, now, can a believer say the things of the Spirit as foolishness? Yes. Yes. Can a believer see the things of the Spirit as foolishness? Yes, now. Yeah, because there are believers that mock the things of the Spirit. And that's why I always warn you, you know, may not be, you know, there was a video that was trending a few, you know, days ago, right? I don't know if it was trending really, but someone shared it with me, right? So, and it was a video of a healing meeting, you know, and people started mocking the healing and everything. And I said something. I just said it to myself. I said, you know, it's very troublesome, the game the devil plays in our world. A lot of times, you now realize it is when people need supernatural healing that they start trying to build their faith in the word. Yeah? People that mock supernatural healing, when it's time for healing, they'll go and compile all of Kennedy E. Hagin's teaching and go and play it in their room and be playing, oh, I believe in the word of God. I believe. But you forgot that you were mocking the things of the Spirit few weeks, few months ago, because it didn't make sense to you. And that is why you can't use your natural sense or your natural mind to view the things of the Spirit. Because to your natural mind, it ought to be foolishness. You can't friend say. So when you see a believer mocking the things of the Spirit, the mind they are using is not the mind of Christ. It's natural mind. Which is why it looks like whatever supernatural activity is happening is foolishness. Are we together? Right? And the truth is that you have to be intentionally careful about the things you feed your heart with. Right? And some of the issues that the Corinthians had, it got to the point they started having division. I'm of pastor this, I'm of pastor that, I'm of pastor this, I'm of pastor that in the same church. And Paul would say, well, you might have many instructors, 1,000 instructors, 10,000 instructors. Right? But you have what one? One father. Right? So it's very important for you as a believer to actually pay deliberate attention to the things of the Spirit as taught in the Word. Praise God forevermore. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 12 again. Let's pick it up again from there. 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now concerning the things of that. So, can we say, now concerning the things of that Spirit I taught you in chapter 2? Yeah? Now concerning the things of that Spirit I taught you in chapter 2. Now concerning the things of the Spirit, I would not have you to be ignorant. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of what? Gifts. But the what? The same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. Look at verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Can we say, is given to every believer. Is that correct? Given to every believer. Say, I am a believer. What makes you a believer? You what? You believe what? The gospel. Okay. What's the gospel? Okay. You can assume. Right? That Christ died. Right? And he buried. And he was resurrected. And he ascended. And was glorified, and it was what again? And is alive. Good. So you have the Spirit because you believe. The gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 is for every believer. Believer. Are we together? Go to Mark 16. Matthew, Mark. Look at Mark chapter 16. Now, look at verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 says, he that believeth and is what? And is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. Now let's just say unto together, 1, 2, 3, go. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Oh, hold on. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Right? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone that believes. Every believer. Right? So it means by default, whatever Jesus is teaching in Mark 16 is regarding the manifestation of the Spirit given to everyone that believes. So the moment you are one that believes, you are entitled to the manifestations of the Spirit. Now, what is the fundamental thing that Jesus taught here as the manifestation of the Spirit? Look at what it says in verse 17. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out what? Devils. And they shall speak with new tongues. They shall what? Cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. So, it means that tongues by default, right, is a fundamental gift that every believer has. So can every believer speak in tongues? Should every believer speak in tongues? Will every believer speak in tongues? Can every believer speak in tongues? Should every believer speak in tongues? Will every believer speak in tongues? Why no? It can be knowledge. It can be will. You know, I remember as a friend of mine in school then, right? Different people have tried to make her speak in tongues and she was struggling. No, I don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. That was a mistake she made. She just mentioned that scripture, Matthew's gospel, right? And I just took out Matthew's gospel, read in context, explained it through the lens of Ephesians, right? And right there on the spot, she spoke in tongues. What was the problem? Knowledge. Yeah? I don't want to forgive. I don't want to do the sin that is unpardonable. They call it the what? The unpardonable sin. That means God can, think about it. God can forgive you of all your sins. But the one you talk against the Holy Ghost, he cannot forgive. That's troublesome. The moment that's the case, don't tell me God can forgive me all my sins. Do you understand? Don't start the sentence by saying God can forgive me all my sins. When you can say, except. That means God cannot forgive me all my sins. I went together. So God, I don't want to do the unpardonable sin. And you know, we've talked that over time in scriptures. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not about speaking in tongues. That is wrong. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is about what? Rejecting the work of the Spirit. So can we say blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is willful rejection? You know, I taught that on Wednesday. When I was teaching from Hebrews, when I says if you sin willfully. Is that correct? Was it Wednesday? Right? Yeah? If you sin willfully. Was it Wednesday? Or Sunday. No, it can't be Sunday. Wednesday. Right? Yeah? He says, if you sin willfully. We said to sin willfully means what? You reject what has been offered to you. So to sin willfully does not mean, I know what I'm about to do right now is lie, but I'm lying, I'm aware of it, and I'm still going ahead to lie. No. To sin willfully means, I present the message of the gospel to you. And I say, this is what the gospel says. And what do? You now decide to what? Say, I reject it, right? I take it, I choose not to associate myself with that message, right? What the Bible is teaching is, there is nothing else that can replace the work the Spirit should do in the life of a man. So, what makes you saved is the Spirit of God in you. If you reject it, there is nothing else you can do to have your sins forgiven. That's what the author of Matthew is teaching, right? And Jesus now says that this sign shall follow them that believe. He now says, in my name they shall speak in tongues, they shall cast out devils, and they shall what? speak with new tongues. Now, the word there, new, in the Greek is the word kainos. Not kairos. Kainos.
Yeah.
That's the word there, new, in the Greek. And that word there means something that is uncommon.
Yeah.
So, the word new before the tongue is a word used to qualify the kind of tongue. Are we together? Right? So, it says, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak. And you know, I was saying on Wednesday that if you look through the book of Mark, the Gospels, as it were, the only mention of tongues, as it were, is in the book of Mark. We have some theologians who have different arguments about the fact that the book of Mark stopped in chapter, in verse, is it verse 8? Is it verse 8 or verse 13 or thereabouts? So they said, oh, the canon was added by, you know, blah, blah. The other verses, rather, were added by other people and everything. Well, the fact remains that the Bible, it was concluded that this would be the entire Bible. So at, regardless of the point they added, it is not my business. It is that it is in the Bible. How are we together? I feel like no matter what, see, if you look at it very well, people who argue that a lot are those who want to fight against tongues. All together. All right. Now, the unfortunate thing about it is that a lot of times, we charismatic people will take things the extreme. Right? What do I mean? You now find a lot of charismatic Pentecostals. I'm one, definitely. But we find a lot of us finding ourselves not being able to actually communicate in English or in our language or in our understanding again because of tongues. Are we together? Do you know that if there's a foul spirit in life of someone, right, or you want to cast out a sickness on someone, you ought to speak the understanding of the person into whom you are casting out demons from or whatever from. All right? Yeah? If at all there is tongues present, there must be the interpretation. All together. So us as believers, all we do is, right, you know, you need to have days and times where you, and that's why I see as a church, one of the things we do is when we pray, you know, there's an instruction given to all our leaders, so that when you're praying, ensure that you pray in understanding as well, people know what you're praying about. So in fact, if people join the church or people join the meeting or the prayer meeting halfway, they know what we're praying about, they know where to start from. Doesn't mean that if people join halfway doing tongues, they don't know how to speak in tongues as well, but you know, there are people who as well don't know how to speak in tongues, what are they expecting to do? Are we together? Right? So, we charismatics, a lot of times, we take things extreme. We now begin to use everything, no, tongues. And also, we also have the other side that says, oh, tongues is not for every believer. But that's very debatable because Paul argued it in 1 Corinthians. Seriously. Right? And Jesus mentions it. It says new tongues. It says kainos. Now, the word they're new there is a word that makes it very clear to you that it's not an evolving language. So, tongues is not Swahili. Do you know, I heard someone say something, you know, and the truth is this. People are very funny. It's only in my generation I know somebody who is writing something that is very awful with confidence and will still tell you read slowly. I still give you a disclaimer at the beginning. Read this patiently and read again. And what you are writing, my brother, if you read it, you will doubt what you are writing. You say read it patiently and read again and again. When they now finish the whole post, they now get to there and say, go back to the beginning. But you see, the point is this. A lot of times, people have that confidence and they do the things they need to do. But you hear some very interesting things. I heard someone say that tongues is the language of another people in another time, in another town. Wait, speak in tongues, please. Right, that's fine. Mandarin? Okay, you heard Mando. Mando stripe. That is South African-ish. African-ish. Are we together? He was literally arguing that when you speak in tongues now, somebody else can come and just say, oh, I hear you speak my mother tongue. And people were saying, You see, the tongues is not a language of the spirit, tongues. And that, and you know where he took the argument from? 1 Corinthians, Acts chapter 2. I went together. That they heard, I'm going to teach that again, but we've taught that over time. You know, they said, oh, no, people were hearing their language. So, all of us now who are speaking in tongues, we will now be speaking, not all, our tongues don't sound alike. Oh. But there's one strange language in the world that connects to our tongue.
No.
Somebody else went to another place. He went to a city and he could not speak. He could not understand their language. He said he started speaking in tongues, and what they were hearing was their language. And that cannot be tongues again. Supernatural activation. Even a new language. And it does happen. Do you understand? Yeah? You can get to a place and you actually, by the spirit, supernatural help, actually just speak a language you've not. You know, there's this minister, for instance, I think he went to a city to go and preach. And, you know, the interpreter that was supposed to come for him and interpret for him said he had some issue, he didn't go there. And he had to go preach. And all the people that gathered together did not understand anything. And he got on the stage and held the mic. Supernatural started speaking their language and communicated to them. That is not tongues. The moment tongues that make sense to the mind of another is no longer tongues. Yeah? The moment tongues can make sense to the mind of another, it's no longer tongues. Right? So new tongues there makes you realize it's a species of language that doesn't exist. Yeah? It's not an evolving language. It's not a language, excuse me, that evolved. So Jesus says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons and they shall speak with tongues. At 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know the scripture very well. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's the same word kainos before the word creature. That means he's qualifying the creature or the creation, like some translations will call it, right? Qualifying it to establish the kind of creation or creature that he's speaking about. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new. That means a species that never existed before. So new tongues is a tongue or language that never existed before. So when you speak in tongues, you are not speaking the language of your forefathers. Neither are you speaking the language of the generations 10 years down or 100 years down your line. No. Tongues is the language of the Spirit. The moment it is understood. Now, listen to what I didn't say. I didn't say the moment it is interpreted. I said the moment it is understood. That means you can translate the tongues. Not even translate. That you can hear what is being said in the language God is called tongues, and you know what it means. So, okay. Sister Abami, stand up. Sister Abami, leave your seat. No, that's fine. That's okay. Yeah? So, did she hear what I said? Did she act on what I said? Because it made sense to her. Please sit down. Right? So, the moment I speak in tongues, and what you get from tongues, not by interpretation, is I'm saying you should stand up like her and leave your chair. Ah, it's not tongues again. I've spoken to you in your mother tongue. Except there's a supernatural activation that would help me speak a language that, oh, guess it. I don't think we're going to have time. But you'll go back to the first series on concerning spirituals. We went back to the history of language. I went back to how language was used and how language evolved, right? It was in that series I talked about the Tower of Babel. I don't know if you remember that, yeah? I talked about the Tower of Babel in that series and how the language, what it meant by the language needed to be confounded, to confound their words, right? To scatter their words, what they were trying to build. Like we said over time that we were not trying to build a tower that was as high to the sky. No. Are we together? Yeah, that's the word in the Hebrew, Zukara, that speaks about a temple, a place in the physical to house the supernatural. That's what Tower of Babel is. In fact, it was after the conversation happened, after everything happened, that the name Tower of Babel came into existence. They didn't make up their mind to build a place as a Tower of Babel. Are we together? But in that language, look at the origin of language and the way words originated and how what happened was a deselection and selecting or selection of language that was mixed. Yeah, so that when we talk about they could not, you know, their language was not similar and the same. I don't know if we'll have time to look at it in this series again, because I'm going to teach something different next month. Right? But it's the same thing about tongues. Right? Tongues is that language that is unique to the Spirit of God in you. Right? It is unique to the Spirit of God in you. Such that the only reason why I can interpret your tongues is because I have the Spirit of God in me as well. So there is no non-believer or unbeliever who can hear me speak in tongues and give me the interpretation. Did you hear what I just said? But there are believers that can hear me speak in tongues and give me the interpretation. What's the difference? The Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God in me, the same Spirit can interpret the tongues you are speaking by the Spirit. And the same Spirit can interpret my tongues to you, your tongues to me, by the same Spirit. But the moment I start speaking in tongues and someone behind the door passes and is an unbeliever, except he's a believer I do not know. We're together. Right? So the moment he comes and interprets the tongues, and the interpretation of the tongues is what is meant to be communicated, that man, that woman you see, is a believer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But does not know, or does not choose to admit. Because one of the greatest things people do right now is to fight if they are believers or not. Yeah? I'm an atheist. It's sweet to say. Yeah? I think I was teaching this on Wednesday. When I was saying, there's that... When someone was asking me that, must we speak in tongues? And I said, how would you feel when you found out you had an example, a very careless example, £1 million in your account, and yet you are jumping, you are taking night bus from London to Amsterdam, not even London, Edinburgh to London to Amsterdam, not because you want to sleep overnight, though. Okay? It's not sleep train. I'm not talking about sleep train. I say bus. You know what they call bus? That bus, the one that... you know bus now. You know the bus that takes people interstate in the UK. Right, that one that you pay £15 for 10 hours, £15. Right? If you had, I remember those days when I used to, because I need to be in church to preach. I'll finish a conference in London. I'll finish at 5, 6, head to London, enter a bus for 9, 10, start taking bus from 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Yeah, Saturday night, 10 o'clock, I'll be on the bus till 8 a.m. 8 a.m., I get home. There are days I'll come and pick you and pick my wife. They will come to church. This same church, oh. Yeah, those experiences were beautiful. But they were experiences. They were experiences. All right? You know, so if, ideally, you get yourself in a position where you are, what was I saying? Sorry. As soon as I just thought about that experience, I just went back memory lane. As soon as I was thinking of course, I just went back. I said, oh my goodness. I know, say God is faithful regardless whether I'm using boss or not. Well, God is faithful eventually, but that is not proof that God is faithful. But you understand that? So please, you just think back about it. You're like, but I have to do what I need to do. I went together and I had to do what I need to do. Yeah, so imagine I was getting on a bus to be able to meet Sunday service and I had £1 million. You know, with £1 million, I will be in Sunday service and I will sleep in London till Sunday morning. What do I need? It's just £6,000 here. No. Compare £6,000 with £1 million. I'll be in church now. Right? If I ask you to carry all of you back to London, that pastor will say, yeah, then bring you back. Talk together. Right? But think about it. Imagine I am going through the journey of a bus because I'm not aware that I have £1 million. Eventually, who suffers is you. So that's the illustration I give to this question around, must I speak in tongues? Paul, the man who teaches the most about tongues, says to an entire church without living with them in their houses, and says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And he never lived with them. That means Paul was voraciously loud about tongues in his private life. Paul, in fact, will allude to the fact that tongues was a backbone of his entire ministry. So it means all those letters you see Paul writing to people, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. All those in my prayer, will be full of tongues. All together. Now, tongues should not be an escape for you don't know how to pray in English or your understanding. You know, that's the escape below we Pentecostals like going through. Yeah? Anytime I don't just know what to say, I just switch to tongues. No. Anytime you don't know what to say in the place of prayer, and you think your solution to that has to be in tongues, it means to a very large extent you are not building yourself in the word as much. How do I know? Elijah was a man like passion. He had a prayer life, yet no tongues. Did you get Genesis to Malachi? We don't have any record of them speaking in tongues. Yet they have, it is their prayer life that they are using to instruct us. So it means prayer in tongues, it should not be an escape for you don't know how to pray in understanding. When you find out that you don't have words to speak in understanding, it means you need to go back to the word. You are lacking in the feeding of the word. So a lot of believers, anytime they don't know what to say, they just start speaking in tongues, right? And they can go like that for what? But think about it. If you are to build a Christian life, committed Christian life, and spend a lot of time praying, right, for hours, are we together, right? And we see the track record of people not having the example and template of tongues up until the resurrection, then it means that you can have a prayer life without tongues. Are we together? Yeah, so your prayer life, as it were, should be something that is fed for, that is an offshoot of your study in the Word. Now, listen to the last part I'm going to add. Whether you are going to stay in prayer and understanding or prayer in tongues. So for both of them, the back root should be what? The Word. Both understanding, both tongues, your back root should be the Word. Don't now get yourself in a place where you stop focusing on the word because you easily will run with tongues. Did you hear that? Yeah, you focus on you now neglect the word because you know I'll just get myself in tongues. Right? So tongues is the language of the spirit. Tongues is that which we can speak on account of the fact that we're born again. So the same word is used in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Galatians 5, look at verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Right? Then he says, now look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, and cause all those kind of things. Now if you jump to verse 6, chapter 6. Brethren, if any man be partaking in the fault, ye are spiritual, restore such a one, the spirit of meekness, and he says all the likes. Then that goes all the way to verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's the same word, what? New, kainos, new creature. Ephesians 2:15, the next book. Ephesians 2:15. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself a twain in what? In one kindness man, so making peace. Chapter 4, verse 24. It says, and that ye put on the what? The kindness man, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. So we see new man, we see new creation, we see new species, we also see new tongues. For each of them, all the news that are mentioned are not evolution. It's not an evolving language, right? It's a distinctly unique language to a kind of people. Praise God forever. Look at Acts chapter 2. So, if you can speak in tongues, and you deliberately choose not to speak in tongues because you think not every Christian should speak in tongues, who loses? You lose. Not the people you are teaching the doctrine, is you. All together. Right? So tongues as it were, is a language of the spirit that is unique to every believer. And it is taught in scriptures such that for you not to see it will be almost to be in a delusion or to be in willful ignorance. It's taught across scriptures. There is no way that you will read through the epistles, read through the teachings of Jesus, for instance, and read through the Acts of Apostles, and not see the voracious use of tongues. Look at Acts 2. Look at verse 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know, this is Acts 2 1 that links. So people have an ideology that Pentecostal. Okay, let's not get there. Yeah? So, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in what? One place. And suddenly there came a what? A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled up the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon what? Each of them. Now look at verse 4. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 4, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with... They began to what? They began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak with other tongues. Now that word there, other tongue, is similar to what? New tongue. Altogether, kainos. Is that correct? Yeah, they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak with other tongues. Now, what did he say again? As the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave... So, who gives the utterance? Who gives the speaking? Who gives the utterance? Who does the speaking? The believer. So, if a believer... So why do we call it speaking in tongues? So, if we say speaking in tongues is the concept of tongues... Who is not acting when a believer does not speak in tongues? The believer. Because speaking in tongues is done by the believer. The Spirit gives the utterance. The believer does the speaking. So when a believer says, I don't have utterance, who is he accusing? Who is he accusing? The Spirit. By extension, himself. Why do we know eventually it is himself? Because we know the Spirit gives utterance. We know it is left for him to speak. Because we cannot know if the utterance is not given when we don't see you speak. The moment you don't see you speak, right, we know that it is in your body, especially when you are a believer. So he says the Holy Ghost was, they began to speak in the Holy Ghost, right, and the Spirit word gave them utterance. Altogether. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, hold on. Peter, standing up with the 11. Who gave Peter the right to speak? Who gave Peter the right to speak? Excuse me. Who gave Peter the right to speak? Who gave Peter the right to speak? Jesus. Who gave Peter the right to speak? Jesus. Are we together? How? Exactly. Yeah? If you love me, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Are we together? So Peter stood up with 11. Let me ask you, does the Bible say that there was a translator there? So it means that when Peter stood up to speak, everybody there heard what he was saying. Is that correct? Is that correct? Now, go back to verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jew devout men out of every nation under the heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, a multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own what? In his own language. Every man heard them speak in his own what? Language. Now, look at verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are these not which speak Galilean? So, Galilean is like a way of, is like a way of insult. Do you understand? It's like talking about low-level people. Yeah, that's why Jesus identified himself, right, with Galilee. All together. So when they say, this ones that are speaking, so Galileans are those who in their English is almost like what you call pidgin. Are we together? So when they're looking at them, they say, are this not Galileans? It's not a compliment, though. It's like an insult. And now says, and how, look at what it says in next in verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Wherein we were born. It says, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, the Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the part of Libya about what? Cyrene, and the strangers of what? Rome, Jew, proselytes, Crete, and Arabians. We do hear them what? Speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. How? How? They were hearing them speak the wonderful works of God. For them to conclude that what they were speaking was wonderful works of God, it means they understood the language happening in that room. Do you understand? Yeah? If conversations happen within the local church here, and somebody comes in and says, oh, those people were just giving thanks to God throughout the service, the only reason they can make that conclusion is because they heard and understood what they heard when they came here. When a lot of people have the problem is, they think that because they understood what they heard when they came here, that means by default, the language they were speaking here was what? Languages that men could understand. Do you understand? People were, now, you know, there were people, the people that are talking are people that are outside the meeting center. We see them. Think about it this way. How would that conclusion have gotten to if everybody outside were speaking only the languages of the city they came from? Mesopotamia, Phrygia, Crete, Arabian. So how will you now be talking there? You'll now be looking for people that understand your language. Do you understand Crete? I mean, come, let's talk. Are you from Mesopotamia? I'll come, let's talk. This was the thing. You could tell that there was a uniform, listen to me carefully, you could tell there was a uniform language they all understood, which was why when Peter stood up, he didn't need an interpreter. Do you understand? Which was why when Peter stood up with 11 in verse 14, I just showed you. The Bible says Peter stood up with 11 and began to speak. He did not need an interpreter. If Peter needed an interpreter to communicate there, it means that by default, he will need nothing less than at least 5 to 10 interpreters. When he says the first word, Jesus is Lord, everybody say, what? Tell me one word you can say. Jesus Lulua. Huh? How do they say it in South Africa? Right? Then when first they say, Muslim boy, only amongst the crowd, only how we understand it. Then someone will not say, no, why? Arabic. Yeah? Only those that are Arabians will understand it. But the Bible says Peter stood up with 11 and lifting up his voice, he said. That means there was a common language they all spoke. Which was why from verse 5, interaction was possible. They could speak similar languages. The question now becomes, were they... So, from the language they could speak that was uniform, what was the conclusion of what was happening in the room? They were speaking about the wonderful works of God. So it means by default, there was the language of speaking about the wonderful works of God that the people outside the auditorium could understand. But that does not mean that that was all that happened there. You know why? Because you can't go to a meeting, see people talking about the language you understand, and still accuse them of being drunk. Are you here? You can't go to a meeting. You imagine you went for a party. And everybody is talking normally. You know what they are saying. And you said, why are they acting like they are drunk? What are we doing? We're just analyzing Acts 2. Right? So you cannot get to a position and say that the only thing that happened there was the language they all understood. And again. So it says in verse 12, and they were all amazed and they were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? You cannot go to a party. People are speaking English and you're asking yourself, what does this mean? Are you with me? You can't go to a party in Scotland. People are speaking English. And the question you are asking is, what does this mean? For you to look for somebody to ask, what does this mean? It means there's something strange happening there. You get the point? Right? So it says, what does this mean? Look at what happened in verse 13. It says, others were mocking. These men are full of wine. You can't go to a party. People are speaking the English you understand. And you say, these men are drunk. They are full of wine. It means there's another activity that was happening that had nothing to do with the understanding of a man who is supernatural. Why? Because the supernatural things are already discerned by supernatural mind. And they are foolishness to who? Natural man. So, literally, is creating a very serious argument from Acts 2. Obviously, we know, you know, the writing pattern, all those kind of things. We understand all those, you know, representative writing pattern and everything. But the fact remains that you can use 1 Corinthians properly to argue 1 Corinthians 2 properly. So others were mocking. They were saying, these men are full of new wine. So in the midst of their mocking, the midst of their doubt, so when you have a believer's meeting, let me ask you a question. How many kinds of people do you have in a believer's meeting? Number one, believers. Who are the believers? Those that speak, are we together? No. Let's say that different. Because the answer I want to get is not what I'm going to. Hey, willing believers. Right? So, come together for a Christian meeting. How many kinds of people do we have? Number one, willing believers. Number two, and let's not categorize the second set of people. Okay, what I want to hear is those that doubt. Is that not true? Those that doubt and those that we're finished willing believer. Those that doubt and those that mock. Yeah? Bible says some were doubting. What does this mean? Some were mocking. This one I'm full of wine. So we have mockers, doubters, and willing believers. The reason why I was trying to get my answer properly was because you can actually put some believers in local church under doubters and mockers. You get that right? Some believers can come to a local church, and when you want to categorize them among these three WhatsApp group, you will ask them to join cell A. In cell B, they will join. Is it why? Is it why? Because they don't come for cell meeting. They don't come for prayer, for evangelism. Mm-hmm. Look at their faces. They didn't come for my team yesterday. That's why they will join cell. Okay, just yesterday. You shine your group, they will join. Zone B. Zone A, all of them. Okay, all of them did not come. All of them did not come. I just remembered. Anyways, they will shine join B and C. But are you getting the point? Right? You can have believers in a group and they are doubters. So they are doubting believers. That's such an oxymoron. And we also call the group, the last group there, mocking believers. What are the mocking believers? They come for a believer's meeting. They see somebody just says, "Arrow brush, eat the brush, get better." And it's just, they run out. Are we together? Right? We also have those who are what? Asking. Please don't compromise that message for yourself. Don't come and see for me. Which one is you? See, I have a brother. Which one? I don't have a brother. Don't tell me you see anything for me. Just see your life. Just don't tell me anything. What do you mean? I have a brother. You have a sister. You know it yesterday. What do you mean? I know it yesterday. I ate. Who are those? No, those are the unbelievers. But which category are they? Oh, they are doubters. Again, it's correct. That's doubters. Right? So that are the ones that say, "I don't believe this thing is true." Yeah? How you go to a church and people are just speaking language, I don't understand. Yeah, those are doubters. So it means believers that are doubters can be found in a local church. And believers that are mockers can be found in a local church. What, on which side should you rather be? Believers that are willing. All together. Believers that are what? That are willing. Praise God forevermore. So, then I'll say, others were mocking. Are these men not full of wine? That means, so it means that the actions they were taking seemed as though they were drunk. You know, it's people that are drunk that say a lot. I was watching a podcast, one guy was talking about how some of his friends, they went out to drink. And as they were drinking, they started just talking about how they look up to him and, you know, how his life is so beautiful and it makes them feel very worthless and useless. He said, was that they realized that that's the true interpretation of what or how they perceived him. Why? Because the argument is that when you are drunk, you need to say things. He said, okay. This brother talks from experience. He says, you say, I don't worry, you understand? Yeah? You understand, yeah? Because one can say, I've never drunk, and you are just talking about as a new creature. Since I became born again, you didn't add that one, but say I became born again, I've never drunk, and I believe you. Yeah? But what's the point? What was I even saying? Yeah? What did you say it again? They say things the way they are. Right? So sometimes when people say something to you, come on, you call them first to confirm. Is everything okay? What's my name? To be sure that they are saying things. So it means that the attribute of a drunken man were things that they saw in the room in Acts 2. Shocks that people could say these men are drunk in wine. Now listen to Peter's first argument. He didn't discard these men are drunk in wine. See what he says in verse 15. For these men are not drunken, as ye suppose. Yeah? Seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That's the there's a song we used to sing, for we have we are not drunk as men suppose. We are drunk in the Holy Ghost. We're full of laughter, singing and rejoicing. Are we together? Praise God. Glory to God. So it means that the attribute of a believer when the Spirit is upon is similar to the attribute of a man that is drunk, intoxicated with wine. So the moment you get yourself into a position where you are beginning to see the things of the Spirit as people acting as drunk, then it gets troublesome. Hallelujah. It gets what? Troublesome. Praise God forevermore. I'm going to close right now. So verse 14 says, but Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto me, for these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. Right? What is he trying to say? Third hour of the day just really means 3 hours after 6 o'clock. So it means it's 9 o'clock. So what Peter is arguing is that you don't see people drunk at 9 a.m. This man, I say, Peter does not know people. People are just like, say, Peter doesn't know my uncle. He doesn't know my neighbor. Huh? So people start their day 4 a.m. drunk. But Peter is arguing and he's saying that, you see, no matter what it is, we know in our environment, people don't get drunk from 9 o'clock. And also, he's also saying that, think about the fact that this many people drunk at 9 o'clock. More often than not, you see, it's one of. But to see this many people drunk all at once, there's a problem. All together, right? He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That it shall what? Come to pass, saith the Lord, I will what? Pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaid, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Let me ask you a question. Which word is Paul addressing in verse 18? They shall what? Prophesy. They shall see visions. They shall prophesy. If you see the word prophesy, it was mentioned twice, verse 17. Is that correct? Verse 18. Are we together? They shall prophesy. So it means, yeah, Paul was not saying that Joel said they shall speak in tongues. He said they shall prophesy. So Paul now comes with the argument to make us see that when it comes to the matter of prophesying, it's a combination of what? Tongues and interpretation. We've gotten to a conclusion that people could hear about the wonderful works of God that was being said. Also come to a conclusion that there was a demonstration that was strange. It was not normal. Are we together? Right? And in the real sense, how you know it was tongues? You know how it was tongues? The Bible says that the Spirit gave utterance. Utterance is that which needs to be spoken. So it means words were spoken. People attributed it to drunkenness. Other words were spoken. People said this is the wonderful work of God speaking about. So when you merge everything together, what is happening? Utterance, tongues, utterance, interpretation. What did Joel say will happen? My sons and daughters shall prophesy. So that's where Paul began to build his argument, right? From 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which we will look at. Now, let's close with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. He says, now there are diversities, verse 4, of gifts for the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration for the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is what? It is the same God which worketh all in all. Let's read verse 7 together, 1, 2, 3, go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her. What profitability is required? Right? The profitability that needs to be seen in the lives and the activities of men. Let's just rise up and pray in the Holy Ghost. And let's just pray that as a local church, the things of the Spirit will never die in our midst. The things of the Spirit will never die in our midst. That we become better. We become better. We become better. We become better. In the name of Jesus, we become better. We become better. We become better. The things of the Spirit will never die in our midst. The things of the Spirit will never die in our midst. The things of the Spirit will never die in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we become better.
And we're going to continue praying for our growth and clarity, that we know better, we grow, we do better. Brosh don't grow, pasanda da da ba, brosh don't do kuso. Each dan do do brosh dan da pata, ash dan da da ba, brokoto. That there is greater evidence, greater results. The results that we're seeing in the book of Acts, the results that we're seeing in Acts, we have them in our ministry, we have them in our meetings, we have them in our services. Brosh don't do the brosh da, break it, hit it, kata. Brosh don't do the brosh da. Those same scenarios in the book of Acts, they are ours, and we hold on to them, and we do better than those in Acts did. Oh, don't brosh da, de, kata da, kasada, katora, brosh da, oh, yes, there are greater results for me. I speak in tongues, I interpret, I manifest in all the gifts of the Spirit. I don't hold back on any of them. I have them all. All the gifts. I do better. Brosh don't do. East da 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 da. Ash don't broke or so. Brosh da 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 da. Oh, don't brosh do. Ah da da da. Brosh da da. Break it, hit it, hit. East da 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 da. I hold on to them. There is greater clarity for me. There is greater growth for me. As I see the example that has been said in the book of Acts, I do better. I lean into those and I do better. I exceed those. Those miracles, those experiences, those amazing things that are done in scripture. I do them better. I do them better. I lay my hands on the sick and they receive their healing. I speak in tongues, I interpret tongues. Oh, stand up, kata. I prophesy, stand up, Oshda. Break it here today. Stand up, da 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 da. Broke us on the Oshda. Eka so do 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 Oshda. Ah, da da da. Break it here. Stand up, da da. Eka so do 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 do. Break it here today. Oshda, Oshda, da da. Ah, stand here today. Stand up, Oshda. Broke us on the Oshda. I will see visions, I will dream dreams, I will prophesy. I will do what the word says. Those signs that are believers, they will come out through me. Those signs that I said is what believers will do, I will do them. I will do them. I will not hold back. I will not hold back. I will do them.
Jesus, and toward all the saints, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Pastor has just spent some time speaking to us regarding understanding what we have, right? And not having something and simply having it but not knowing that you have it and not acting upon what you have. So he's explained to us that we have all these gifts. We have all these gifts that we can manifest, right? We're going to pray this morning that we are able to make those gifts effectual. But we don't just have something, like the example you gave regarding having £1 million and still, you know, using the long way around to get something. We have something. We have those gifts. We're able to speak in tongues. We can interpret. We can prophesy. We can discern spirits. We can work miracles, right? We can do all those things. So we're going to pray this morning that those gifts I have, they will not die in my hands. They will not die in my hands. I will do something
I will do something. It says, every good thing which is in me in Christ Jesus, these good things which I have will not die in my hands. They will not die in my hands. They will not die in my hands. Every good thing which I have in Christ Jesus, I acknowledge them and I make them effectual. They're effective in my life. There is a result of these things in my life. Oh, stone brush, it will not die in my hands. I speak in tongues, I interpret tongues, I prophesy. I work miracles, I heal the sick, I discern spirits, I do all those things. Oh yes, I am not ignorant. I am not ignorant. I am not ignorant. Oh, stone brush, I am not ignorant. I do all. I do all. I do all. Brush, da da da. As now brush, da. Ika ta da. Kusunda da brush, da. Brush, da 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 da. As now da. Brokusu. Every good thing which I have, and I know I have them. I know they're important. I have them. I make them effectual. I act out those things. I act out those things. I go out with the word and I work miracles. I decide spirits. I prophesy. Yes, 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 yes. Brush don't broken time. Ash down or push that. East down 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 that. I have the word of wisdom. I can discern spirits. I can work miracles. I can prophesy. Yes, 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 yes. I have the gift of healing. Oh, stone broke what hope is done. Da da da. I stand broke what hope rush da da. Break it sin da ba. I stand on the bush da. Ah, pata. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, stone broke da. Break it. Oh, da da ba. Is da da. Broke what hope do do the bush da. Break it. Da 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 da. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh. All those gifts are mine. All those gifts are mine. All those gifts are mine. So I act out. I act out what I have. I make them effective. Every good thing I have is made effective. Every good thing I have, brosh down the bush. Break it in. Oh, down, broke who told you go. Ah, da da ba. Break it in. Brosh down the bush. I will not be a doubter. I will not be a doubter. I will not be a mocker. I will not be ignorant. I will not be ignorant. I am not ignorant. I am one who knows what I have, and I stand on what I have, and I hold on to what I have. So I go out and I heal the sick. I go out and I prophesy. I confidently give words of knowledge. I confidently give words of wisdom. Rush down the bush. Oh, yes, yes. Yes. Oh yes, 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 brosh to the bush, break it, oh stand that away, ash down that away, and in that I grow, and I do better. Every day there is a difference, there is progress with me. I do better, I am not stagnant, I will not be yesterday's man, May it not be said of me that before I was good, before I was doing these things, before I was manifesting in these gifts. No, it will not be a story of the past, it will be a story of the future. Going ahead, doing better, moving on, doing better, giving greater accuracy, more confidence, more accuracy, more precise. I am better, I am more precise, I am more accurate. I know exactly what you say, and I am correct. I know exactly what you say, and I'm more accurate. There is greater clarity for me. Back when I was more confused, now I'm more clear. I have more clarity. I do better. Oh, stone brush for that. Hey, stand up, that. Oh, stone brush for that. Rock, put on the brush. Break it, oh, stone brush for that. Break it, oh, stand up, brush for that. Break it, stand up, 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 break it, stand Father. I will not be ignorant. I will not be ignorant. I will not be ignorant. Oh, stone brush that. I'm a willing believer, so I act on it. I act on those gifts. I act on those gifts. I do better. I do better. I do better. Oh, our meetings, we have those gifts. We have those gifts. We have the manifestations of those gifts. Those scenarios, those actual scenarios we read about, they are evident in our meetings. They are evident in our meetings. And we go beyond. We go beyond that. We go beyond. We do better. We go further. We are more accurate. Greater clarity for me, and I do better. I do better. I do better. I am not ignorant. I am not a mocker. I am not a doubter. I am a willing believer. Brush down the bush. Break heads headed about. Brush down that. Let's just lift up our hands and give God praise this morning.
Moving me forward as I become the man you want me to. I can trust in your strength, Lord. I am not an ordinary man.
An ordinary Thank you. led by the Spirit. I have God's Spirit in me. La Corabas and Elekela Baros and Arabade with hands lifted high. Oh, Re Calabas and Loropos and Alabaso. Le Carabasando Locora Badabaso Norocolaba. Raka Palabarabason Elebas and Arabado. He Carroson de la Basin and Arabado. Rabadabasandarabado. He did it ever send Loropala. Hold me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith.
Grace abounds in deep as well.
son badabashen de la rabashon arabade. Mi karo son da rabadoshen da rabashote de rabade. We thank you for your spirit that is in us, O Lord, that you will lead us, O Lord. Where our trust is with our borders. Mi karo son da rabashen de la rosote de rabade. Rabosote la bashen de la rosote. And you are mine.
Amen. If we can all be seated, and actually just take some time to talk to our neighbor about a few things that we learned this morning.
Because you think
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Sure, we learned a lot this morning. We're so grateful to Pastor for the word, the message we received this morning. We received many, many more years of his ministry. We've learned this morning to learn to take advantage of the gifts that we have and share them with others. So we will not be mocking believers. We will not be doubting believers. We will be
believers.
We will not be mocking believers. We will not be doubting believers. We will be
believers.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate you, sir. Pastor sends his love. He had a flight to catch. He's leaving the country this afternoon. So he had to leave early to ensure he doesn't miss that flight. We wish him a safe and stress-free journey to his destination. And he will be back with us not too long from now. But yes, he sends his love. First-timers, I don't believe we have any first-timers, which means we have more work to do. So if we ensure that this week, as we go on the trains, on the buses, on the trams, anywhere in the taxis, if we can just share messages with somebody and invite them to pop in and see what we're doing here. Okay, we have our vision and mission statement. So our vision is to see
men come to the reality of Christ and to the work of ministry.
And our mission?
To reveal Christ through the teaching of the Lord and to demonstrate love in all facets of life.
In all facets of life. Birthdays in March. So we have two birthdays tomorrow. Of our beautiful members, we have Brother Pussy. Who came to show his lovely, lovely new look. I just got back. And Sister Naomi. Let's sing for them both.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
I'll just say a few words about Brother Pussy. Thank you so much, Brother. When I had to go on maternity leave, Brother Pussy, he kindly volunteered to take over the projecting, and he has